Healthy Talk with Dr. Michael Smith, MD. And now, here's the country doctor with a city education, Dr. Mike.
So, the scientific truth about preventing, diagnosing, and treating autism, it's a very confusing disorder and diagnosis. There's a lot of people out there, a lot of so-called experts who I think are confusing parents, even doctors, to be honest with you. So it's always a pleasure when I have a real expert. His name is Dr. Robert Melillo. He's the co-founder of the Brain Balance Program. Dr. Melillo, welcome to Healthy Talk.
Hi, how you doing? Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. So autism spectrum disorders are pretty complex. Now affecting about 1 in 88 kids or so, 1 in 100 kids. Again, it depends on who you listen to or who you read. Yeah, go ahead.
The most recent CDC was 1 in 50 children, actually.
1 in 50. So it keeps getting worse a little bit, doesn't it? Why? Okay, let's just start right there. Let's just get into why the increase in the number of cases? Are we dealing with environment versus genetics, combination? What's going on?
Right. The thing that I actually address in the first chapter of my book right off the bat is, are we actually facing an epidemic? Are the numbers actually increasing? We know that 30 years ago it was diagnosed basically 1 in 10,000 children. Now we know it diagnosed, as we said, 1 in 50. And so, a lot of controversy over whether that's a real increase or not. Basically, I spent a year speaking to some of the top researchers and epidemiologists, and what we came up with was that, conservatively 40 to 50% of the increase could be attributed to improved recognition, better diagnosis, changes in diagnostic criteria, what we call diagnostic substitution. But at least 50%, more like 60%, maybe even 70% of the increase, going from 1 in 10,000 to 1 in 50, represents new cases. So that means that we are actually facing an epidemic. Give you an example. Polio was considered an epidemic when it was 1 in 2,700 children. So we're seeing an actual increase. And the only way you can explain that increase over a short time has to be primarily through environmental factors, not genetic factors. So there are environmental factors and changes in our environment and our lifestyle that are driving this, but that also makes it potentially preventable.
So isn't there some research now pointing towards the fact that there could be some in utero things going on during pregnancy, and then also, of course, within the first year or so of life? Is that not true?
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, much of the research is actually pointing to preconception, but also conception itself during the pregnancy period and also postnatal. So we know that there are well-known, well-documented risk factors that elevate the risk of a woman or a man having a child with autism. And that's what I tried to stick with in the book, things that were really pretty well-documented. Things like if a woman has obesity, hypertension, or diabetes, any one of those three elevate her risk of having a child with autism by 60% each. But on the other hand, if she takes folic acid 3 months before or for the first month of pregnancy, she lowers her risk of having a child with autism by 60% once again. So there are different things like age, where you live, exposure to pollution, different drugs that you may take, whether you get a flu virus or not. These are things that are well documented that both affect preconception and also the pregnancy itself, but they're almost all things that we can document, that we can measure, and that we can reverse and prevent, thereby lower the risk of having a child with autism.
So we've talked about this before, Dr. Melillo. You have coined this term, the functional disconnect between the brain hemispheres, and that's basically when the left and the right aren't communicating right. How does that relate to autism?
Well, what we see is that autism, ADHD, OCD, Tourette's, PD, primarily are a result of a delay in development of the right side of the brain in children that seem to be exceptionally gifted in the left side of their brain. How that relates to what we're talking about is that you know, the two sides of the brain are very different. And the reason why they're different is because they develop at different times. So what we see is that the right side of the brain develops primarily in the womb and for the first 2 to 3 years of life. So what we see, anything that affects a woman or a man conception prenatally or during the birth process or in the first couple of years of life is going to cause a delay in the right side of the brain, and that is what we see in ADHD and autism. So it directly relates to it, and I think that it's really what causes autism, environmental factors affecting gene expression during this particular window of time when the right side is developing in children that are gifted and unusually strong with their left brain to begin with. I think that's what sets a child up for having autism and ADHD and many disorders.
So this is interesting. Let's try to be practical about this for the listeners then. With all that said, what should parents look for if they are worried about autism? And what are some of the early signs that a parent might get a little worried if they see this in their kids?
I think there are many signs very early on. What we see is that looking at muscle tone and motor milestones is probably the single most important thing you can look at, and that's gaining a lot more importance. There's a researcher named John Constantino out of University of Washington, St. Louis, and basically what they're saying is that the main difference between autistic children and their siblings, the main measurable difference is their motor development. So if a child, for instance, can't latch on because they have low muscle tone in their mouth and the mother can't breastfeed, that's an early sign that the child is at risk. If the child doesn't roll over at 3 to 5 months equally, if they don't crawl the way that they're supposed to crawl on all fours for a period of time, if there's a delay of more than a month or two for walking, these are the earliest signs that usually tell you that a child's at risk. It doesn't necessarily only relate to autism, but usually the child is at some risk, and if we intervene at that point, we usually can reverse it completely.
What are the steps that you take then? What are the first, if someone brings in their child like that, what's the first thing you're going to do with this?
First thing we do is we look at what we call primitive reflexes. We look to see if the child has certain, when we're born with reflexes that allow us to breastfeed, to grab on, to prevent ourselves from falling, to eventually roll over and crawl and walk. And these reflexes are there before we have a brain, but they need to go away. And what we see is that almost every child that has a developmental delay, they have a persistence of these reflexes. They're still there. And there are very simple exercises that we can do to get rid of them. And when we do, it allows the brain to now jump to another level of development. The other thing that's important, as you know, is if a child comes out and from the very beginning has a lot of immune issues, if they have things like reflux, if they have, you know, eczema, if they have a lot of problems with different formulas, and if they have problems with their with constipation, those are also very early warning signs that there's something going on with their gut and the immune system, and this is often tied to something going on with their brain.
Right, and so your website where people can read about this and your program is the brainbalancecenters.com, and I know on that website you talk about diet, supplements, there's even cognitive and social exercise there. It's a really good website, so I encourage any of my listeners who might be dealing with this to go check that out and give your center a call. Where can people purchase your book from?
Well, this book they can purchase anywhere, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. For parents that have children that have a disability already, you know, my first book, my first two books, Disconnected Kids and Reconnected Kids, are also books that they can get through Amazon that will really deal with the child that already has the disability. But they can get it pretty much anywhere.
Thanks for coming on. That's brainbalancecenters.com. Dr. Melello, thank you. This is Healthy Talk on Radio MD. I'm Dr. Mike. Stay well.